Our first scripture reading for today comes from 2 Kings 23, 1 through 3. That is from the second book of Kings, chapter 23, verses 1 through 3. Here we read that King Josiah rediscovers scripture and calls the people to renew their covenant before the Lord. Let's read. Then the king directed that all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem should be gathered to him. The king went up to the house of the Lord, and with him went all the people of Judah, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests, the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord, keeping his commandments, his decrees and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. All the people joined in the covenant. Here ends the first scripture reading.
So we find ourselves again on the first Sunday of a new year, when we are face-to-face with a covenant renewal service. This is, I believe, our seventh time together, sixth or seventh time. And we gather ourselves like people have gathered for centuries now to renew their vows and to reaffirm a covenant that they have made with their Savior. And if this is your first Sunday here, I don't think anyone here is worshiping for the first time. But you do, and if you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, this may seem a little bit out of place for you. Nobody is forced to make a vow with Jesus. Although, against our will and without any help from us at all, he did die on the cross and he was raised again for our salvation without our contribution and without any of our help. We didn't necessarily choose Jesus. Jesus chose us. But today we do gather and we recognize that this past year we haven't always chosen him. But he has nevertheless remained faithful throughout this past year to each one of us. And in our first scripture, the one that Linda just read to us, recognizes that this past year, recognizes that God is a continual presence, and a presence that is so overwhelming that it recognizes that we have to call to him publicly. And it reminds us to renew our vows periodically before the Lord. And we don't often have opportunities to do that in worship on Sunday morning. And the first Sunday of every new year, we do that together. Now, in our second scripture, we are reminded that we are part of such a much larger body that encompasses more than just the people that you see today. It encompasses a body of Christ that stretches across this country and stretches across the world. And this body, First Presbyterian, is a part of those branches that are growing from the true vine, Jesus Christ. And today we're reminded that we are to abide in him, and we're also reminding ourselves of how important it is to remain attached and a part of that vine that is our Savior Jesus. So let's turn now to our second scripture, which is found in the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 8. John verses 1 through 8 in chapter 15. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he states, "I am the true vine and my Father is the vine grower, and he removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. Now you have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. And just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. And such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving Lord, we do ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be worthy and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So before we go forward with our covenant renewal service, I don't normally have a lot of words on the scripture that we've just read, but today I do want to look at these two scriptures because they speak so much to the importance of renewing our covenant before the Lord on a consistent basis, even if it is just once a year that we do it together here at First Pres. So let's look at these first scriptures. Let's go first to 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 1 through 3. We find in the chapter before, in chapter 22, that there's a new king. And this new king is King Josiah, and he becomes king when he's 8 years old. And we find ourselves in chapter 23, 18 years down the road. So he's probably 26, and he tells one of his people to go to the temple and check it out. See how are things going at the temple. And the person comes back and says, King Josiah, they found this scroll at the temple. Or these scrolls, however many you want to say. And he opens them up and he finds out that they are the law, the Torah, what we would call the Bible, the part of the Old Testament. And he is unfamiliar with it. The whole generation of people are unfamiliar with it. And when he reads it, he recognizes this is important. This is the law. This is something that we as a people should have passed down from generation to generation. And so he's distraught because as he reads it, he recognizes we are not doing what Scripture tells us we are supposed to be doing. So he tears his clothes. I'm keeping my robe on. But he recognizes the importance of this, and he recognizes that all the people should make a change. And what that Scripture tells us, and I'm going to read some of it, is he made a promise then in front of the Lord after discovering this law, to follow the Lord, keeping his commandments, his decrees, his statutes with all his heart, all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And then the last line that we read, and all the people joined him in the covenant. Folks, we're not doing anything new. Okay? This is millennia ago that this event took place. And we recognize that we are joining with King Josiah. We are joining with those generations of folks who have gone before us, making a covenant before the Lord to follow his commandments. When we get to the New Testament, go ahead, Rich. When we get to the New Testament, we hear the words of our Savior who is speaking to his disciples. And I want you just to imagine that you are sitting on a hillside and Jesus is speaking to you and he's teaching, and you are surrounded on that hillside by olive trees and by grapevines. And as he is speaking these words, go back to chapter 15 in John, there is one word that is repeated over and over and over again. Who recognize it? What is it? Holly. Yeah, abide, NRSV, sorry, yeah. Abide, that's the word that the NRSV has, and that's a word that he focuses on, and we should, you would think, understand what he really wants from us. What does it mean when he tells us to abide with him, to live with him? What we're going to do in the covenant is confess that we have not abided with him in 2017, or before that if you haven't done a covenant in a year. We're confessing that we did not stay with him. And that term abide, I love this. In the Greek, the term abide is meno. Who knew, right? Like meno, like Mennonite, right? So that's where that term comes from. So meno, who formed the, you know, who started, who's seen as the founder of the Mennonite way of thinking, his name means abide, to stay. I think that's pretty powerful, especially within this community in which we find ourselves. And the assumption that Jesus has, and which we ought to have, is, okay, we have been with him up to now, disciples, so he's speaking to them. Now continue to abide with me. He's saying, continue to stay with me. And so Jesus' words, and frankly, this whole covenant, this renewal service is more directed to those within the faith, right? It's more directed to those who have already been a part of the vine and grown and produced fruit. And he's telling them, don't leave. Stay, abide, live, dwell. Be a part of who I am. Be a part of what I'm doing. And that's important. So as we look out among this congregation, and as I said earlier, I don't think we have anyone new here this morning. Hey, folks, we're talking in-house today. When Jesus says abide to his disciples, he's telling them to stay within that faith. And that's why we do that every year. He also mentions those branches that don't produce fruit and are cut off. And we do remind ourselves to remain with Jesus, but it's not just enough to be a branch. We also, he tells us, we also need to produce fruit. About a year ago, I spoke to a former member of the church in Russia. He's an oil executive, so financially he has plenty of what he needs. And he said, when I spoke to him last year, I feel like my relationship with Jesus is strong, but there's still something I think that he wants me to do. And it's a void in me. I don't know what to do about it. So I told him, knowing that he could, well, why don't you go to Taizé, which is in France, a meditative community. Spend some time there, and then when you're done, you know, call me and let's see if it makes any difference or if it gives you a better direction. So I spoke to him on Friday, and he was changed, completely transformed. And what he said, Bob, the difference was that while I felt all along that my relationship with Christ was strong, I did discover it wasn't enough. I needed a relationship with my neighbor that reflects a giving and a living that places others first. So bearing fruit requires absolutely a relationship with our Savior. But bearing fruit also, as we abide in Christ, requires a relationship where we don't hesitate to reach out to our neighbor. This is how fruit is born. We bring others alongside to abide in Jesus as we go along our journey. What did we call that last month? Happy feet, right? King Josiah did this. He gathered the last verse we read in 2 Kings, and all the people joined in with him. Jesus did this. He gathered his disciples, and he required them to be brought face to face with the fruit that they were bearing and asked the question, are you bearing fruit? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? So that's what we're going to be doing today, asking that same question, are we abiding in our Savior? So in 1775, John Wesley used this format for one of his services. And so the material that you find in him is directly from John Wesley. Now he got it, and I've said this before, 100 years before that, so in 1675, from a Puritan named John Alain. Every year, Wesley would use this for a New Year's watch night service. Wesley, again, who founded the Methodist movement. Boy, we have all the denominations covered today, right? He found it rich and meaningful, and it can be a powerful service if you let it be such. So go ahead and take out your booklet, and as you do, what you will find is in the middle of it, right where the staples are, you'll see that at the heart of the service is this covenant prayer. And this prayer, it requires people to commit themselves to God. It's a serious covenant, and we should take it seriously. Now, at the beginning of that prayer, I'm going to pause before we launch into it, because I want you to feel free to express your faith, express your commitment to Christ, how you want to do that, whether that is by kneeling, whether it is, we will be standing at that point, whether it is by kneeling or whether it is by bowing or whether it's by raising your hands, whatever expression of faith you, or whether it's a Presbyterian just standing still, whatever you want to do and however you want to express your faith at that moment, feel free to express it in that way. No one is going to look at you crooked, or I will look at them crooked. So feel free to express your faith in that way. On the last page of the service, you will find on the green last page a place where you can sign and date that. Do not do that sitting here this morning. I encourage you, if this service has moved you, to go home, once you do go home, to then read it over again and sign it and date it there at home, okay? In the quiet of your home, in a place where you can be by yourself and make sure that this is what you want to do. If you do end up signing it and putting a date on it, please let me know so that I can be praying for you and so that we can talk about what this commitment or this recommitment may mean to you. So folks, it is now the year 2018, and I think it's fitting that we're going to be taking part in the Lord's Supper together. But even more importantly today in this service, you're going to be given an opportunity to embrace the new life that Jesus has chosen for you. How fitting it is that we will be able to recommit our lives to Christ and then take together this sacrament that allows us to be fully part of His body. We're also going to have a blue bead, as David mentioned, so that when we do take communion together, it will be intinction. You'll be coming down the center aisle. Where you're able to take a blue bead as a reminder of your baptismal vows as well. Now, logistically, you need to be aware, okay? Because normally you reach for the blue bead with your dominant hand, and it's always somewhat entertaining for me to see people, how do I grab the bread? So make sure when you take your blue bead, if you don't have pockets, put it in your less dominant hand in that way. It's all about logistics, I know. That way you can make it work. Let's stand together and let's go together as we read this covenant service. I have the light print. You are to read the dark print. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Christian life is redeemed from sin and consecrated to God. Through baptism, we have entered this life and have been admitted into the new covenant of which Jesus Christ is the mediator. He sealed it with His own blood that it might last forever. And on the one side, God promises to give us new life in Christ, the source and the perfecter of our faith. But on the other side, we are pledged to live no more for ourselves, but only for Jesus Christ, who loved us, gave Himself for us. And from time to time, we renew our covenant with God, especially when we reaffirm the baptismal covenant and gather at the Lord's table. Today, we meet as the generations before us have met to renew the covenant that binds us to God. So let us make this covenant of God our own. Commit yourselves to Christ as His servants. Give yourselves to Him that you may belong to Him. And Christ has many services to be done. Some are more easy and honorable. Others are more difficult and disgraceful. Some are suitable to our inclinations and interests. Others are contrary to both. In some, we may please Christ and please ourselves. But then there are other works where we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. It's necessary, therefore, that we consider what it means to be a servant of Christ. Let us therefore go to Christ and pray. Let us pray together.
Let me be your servant under your command. I will no longer be my own. I will give myself to your will in all things.
Be satisfied that Christ shall give you your place and work.
Lord, what you will. I put myself fully into your hands. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and with a willing heart give it all to your pleasure and disposal.
Christ will be the Savior of none but his servants. He is the source of all salvation to those who obey. Christ will have no servants except by consent. And Christ will not accept anything except full consent to all that he requires. Christ will be all in all, or he will be nothing. Confirm this by a holy covenant. And to make this covenant a reality in your life, listen to these admonitions first. Set apart some time, more than once, to be spent alone before the Lord, in seeking earnestly God's special assistance and gracious acceptance of you, in carefully thinking through all the conditions of the covenant, in searching your hearts whether you have freely given your life to Christ. Consider what your sins are. Consider the laws of Christ, how strict, how holy, strict, and spiritual they are, and whether you, after having carefully considered them, are willing to choose them all. Be sure you're clear in these matters. See that you do not lie to God. Second, be serious. And in a spirit of holy awe and reverence, third, claim God's covenant. Rely upon God's promise of giving in grace and strength so you can keep your promise. Trust not your own strength and power. Fourth, resolve to be faithful. You have given to the Lord your hearts, you have opened your mouths to the Lord, and you have dedicated yourself to God. With God's power, never go back. At last, be then prepared to renew your covenant with the Lord. Fall down on your knees, lift your hands toward heaven, open your hearts to the Lord as we pray. Let us wait now for a little bit. Let us pray together. O righteous God, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, see me as I fall down before you. Forgive my unfaithfulness in not having done your will, for you have promised mercy to me if I turn to you with my whole heart. Now God requires that you shall put away all your idols. I hear from the bottom of my heart. Renounce them all, covenanting with you that no known sin shall be allowed in my life. Against your will, I have turned my love toward the world. In your power, I will watch all temptations that will lead me away from you. For my own righteousness is riddled with sin, unable to stand before you. Through Christ, God has offered to be your God again if you would let him. Before all heaven and earth, I here acknowledge you as my Lord and God. I take you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for my portion, and vow to give up myself, body and soul, as your servant, to serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of my life. Now God has given the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way and means to coming to God. Jesus, I do here on bended knees accept Christ as the only new and living way, and sincerely join myself in a covenant with him. O blessed Jesus, I come to you, hungry, sinful, miserable, blind, and naked, unworthy even to wash the feet of your servants. I do here with all my power accept you as my Lord and head. I renounce my own worthiness. and vow that you are the Lord, my righteousness. I renounce my own wisdom and take you for my only guide. I renounce my own will and take your will as my law. Now Christ has told you that you must suffer with him. I do here covenant with you, O Christ, to take my lot with you as it may fall. Through your grace I promise that neither life nor death shall part me from you. God has given holy laws as a rule for your life. I do here willingly put my neck under your yoke to carry your burden. All your laws are holy, just, and good. I therefore take them as the rule for my words, thoughts, and actions, promising that I will strive to order my whole life according to your direction and not allow myself to neglect anything I know to be my duty. The Almighty God searches and knows your heart. O God, you know that I make this covenant with you today, without guile or reservation. And help me to set it aright. And now, glory be to you, O God, Father, whom I from this day forward shall look upon as my God and Father. Glory be to you, O God the Son, who have loved me and washed me from my sins in your own blood, and now is my Savior and Redeemer. Glory be to you, O God, the Holy Spirit, who by your almighty power have turned my heart from sin to God. Almighty God, the Lord omnipotent, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have now become my covenant friend. And I, through your infinite grace, have become your covenant servant. So be it. And let the covenant I have made on earth be ratified in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we do come before you, your covenant people. And your scripture makes that promise to us. And every single person here today, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will touch their hearts. And if there was anyone here today who, for the first time, gave their hearts to you or rededicated their lives to you, God, that the fire of the Holy Spirit will burn through them in such a way that they would be energized to do your work. Surround them with people who would encourage them and strengthen them in their walk. We pray all this now in your loving name. Amen.